Happy 12-12-12 to the 12th man today.
Yep, it will. It'll be. We were talking about that. Maybe these Mayan people had it all figured out with the 12-12-12, the 12th man, and then having an Aggie win the Heisman Trophy in 2012. So
and then blow the world up in 9 days.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it may not matter. We'll talk about the Cliff in a minute, but first let's start by: is there anything else that's going on up there? Because we know they're talking the Cliff, but are there other things that we need to be knowing about right now?
Nothing of any real. Well, I say this, nothing of that's nearly as important as the Cliff. Let's put it that way. We are voting on a number of bills today that could make things better in certain ways, but nothing that approaches the importance of the Cliff. All eyes are on the Cliff.
You know, one of the things that we were discussing last hour was, and this is again over on the Senate side, but the idea of the impact on family farms that is going to be felt when the new taxes go into effect in the beginning of the year. And, of course, in the Brazos Valley, we have a lot of family-owned farms, and that's something that we really need to be considering.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, of course, the president's not talking about that. He's only talking about we've got to go after this one group of taxpayers because they need to pay their fair share, even though they pay over 40% of the tax load today.
Have you necessarily seen any numbers as to what it would mean if we take that exemption and lower it from $5 million down to $2 million? How many different segments of the population would be affected by that?
No, sir, I haven't seen it. I'm sure that the Congressional Budget Office has it, but I haven't seen it. And the estate tax conversation has been lost because of the gravity of the income tax part of the fiscal cliff conversation.
You know, I was noticing that yesterday, and again, it seems to be that as we move to talk about the cliff, it seems in an interview yesterday with Barbara Walters, the president continues this mantra about how the middle class is being held hostage because of this impending fiscal cliff, and why won't the legislature go ahead and do what they should do, the right thing, so that the rich will pay their fair share?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. I mean, that's the way he has characterized this. It's basically the wealthy versus the higher income taxpayers, and it's a shame that he's done that. But he has successfully positioned it that way, and he's getting some traction.
You know, I was noticing that we were discussing part of the Obamacare tax has to do with medical devices, and a lot of companies are concerned because the tax was just kind of thrown out there. It was passed, but nobody knows how it's going to be implemented. And that seems to be just a continuing model that this administration has, and maybe administrations prior to that. But address, if you will, the idea that Americans are anywhere from scared to nervous to upset to angry. And where does the legislative branch of the government become the firewall that keeps us from continuing to move down this road where there's more taxes, where there's more government intervention in our lives?
Well, we have been the firewall, and there are, you know, at least 10 new Obamacare taxes that are going to get started beginning January the 1st. And that's one of the things that I've had some conversations with our leadership about is, what if we were able to put a series of bills on the floor, let's say three bills. Bill number one extends current tax rates for everybody making $250 and below. Bill number two extends it for people between $250 and $1 million. And then bill three extends current tax rates for everybody with $1 million. And then to each of those, add provisions in order to try to get some bipartisan support to undo some of the Obamacare taxes that are going to kick in. For instance, the tax on the gain on the sale of your home, or the Medicare tax is going to be added to investment income, things like that. Because I do believe the other side of the aisle is, if they're not nervous about those Obamacare taxes, they're going to be nervous about them pretty quickly. So I think we could maybe knock a few of them out in this entire fiscal cliff discussion.
Bill Flores is joining us from D.C. this morning. Mike Allen wrote in Politico. Let me read this, and then I'd like to get your react from it. This is from his article in Politico. Nearly every lawmaker and staffer will tell you privately that they know the Social Security retirement age needs to go up, the rate of growth of benefits needs to be slowed on a sliding scale that protects the poor, the cap on income subjected to that tax that finances the program needs to go up, and the rich should get smaller or no payouts at all from the program.
I agree with those things except for two of the comments. Number one is if you take the cap off the income, it doesn't really do anything for the financial viability of the program. If you take the cap off the income, this tax, that is.
Right.
And then the second provision is saying that the that higher income Americans should get nothing out of the program doesn't make sense to me. You could fix social. Actually, when you look at all the fiscal issues we have, Social Security is sort of tied with for second with Medicaid in terms of its financial problems. But it's the easiest to fix. You can fix it by twisting three knobs. You can adjust retirement ages. You can adjust the way the COLA is calculated to more accurately reflect the expenses of retired folks. And then the third thing you can do is you can means test it, which means that upper-income Americans would get less. When you bring those issues up, I mean, you have people screaming at you, mm-hmm. but there's two choices. I mean, Social Security is going to get fixed when everybody gets a discounted amount of money when the system goes broke here in a few years, or we could fix it today and try to do it with some modest changes that will extend the life of it for 75-plus years. And that's the discussion we've got to have. It seems like every American's out for themselves right at this minute. Nobody's looking at the future of their kids and grandkids.
Yeah, that's the scary thing, and that's I guess we charge our elected officials to make those hard decisions, and then when you start talking about, as you say, twisting the knobs, then people are going to get angry about lowering some benefit that they're currently getting or raising the age on Social Security. And I can remember that really went back to your initial campaign. We were still talking about that more than 4 years ago, and it scares people, but that's the reaction.
And it can be done in such a way where if you're on Social Security today, you're not touched at all. Unless you're a higher income American, you may see some reduction in benefits. If you're 55 and older and have already planned your life around what your Social Security benefits are going to be, it's really not going to affect them. But if you're 54 and younger, it will make sure that there's something there for you when you look forward. It's just you may have to work a couple of extra years for it. So I think that it's an entirely appropriate way to look at this so that we can have it be there for our kids and grandkids.
You know, we were talking last week. I didn't ever think I would report the story that Michigan would become a right-to-work state, but that happened yesterday. I find that fascinating.
Well, it blows my mind, but they were getting their rears kicked by their neighbors. Indiana, which is close to Michigan, has mm-hmm. been sucking the jobs out of Michigan because Indiana became a right-to-work state. Wisconsin has had improvements in the way they look at non-union worker rights. And so Michigan is just, they were bleeding to death, and so they've done an amazing thing.
It's a shocking thing. Never thought it would happen. Well, finally, what does the calendar look like right now, then, as this debate continues?
Well, at this point, we were originally set to adjourn on Friday of this week, but there have been some modifications in the last few days. We're going to be adjourning tomorrow, but then coming back on Monday the 17th. And we've been told to plan to stay here until we get things fixed.
Well, that might speed it up then, huh?
Well, it's interesting. From what I've heard, you know, I haven't been here long enough to experience this, but from what I've heard, that as you get closer and closer to Christmas and the folks back home are yelling at you, or your family is yelling at you to come home, mm-hmm. things seem to get fixed.
Yeah.
I'm here until we get it done.
Okay. Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays when Congress is in session, whenever that may be. And you can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Well, I'd like to congratulate Johnny Football on his Heisman and then also to ask our listeners to continue praying for our country and our military men and women.